for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Wednesday evening service of July the 5th, 1995, of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Billy Schaffner is the speaker for the evening. Should this tape for any reason prove to be defective, please return and explain for replacement. Thank you.
The evening, night, to Brother Billy Schaffner, who is a pastor and traveled with Brother Jack Harris and others that's come here over the past for many years, and he pastors a church just about 20 miles from where Brother Jack pastors, and he's responsible for the Lord getting us all the bunk beds that we've gotten in order to put in this building down here, and some we've got upstairs, and some extras on hand for other use in the future, and the Lord just happened to, he knew about it and told us, and we were blessed with several hundred dollars worth of beds, in fact, more than that, for just a few dollars. And so we appreciate the Lord leading him. But he's come here tonight and for the next couple of days to minister with us and to bring the word of the Lord and open up the understanding that the Lord's given him of the time that we live in, of the kingdom, and that which the Lord has for us in the days that lie ahead of us, and they are serious times, and we need to know where we are in Jesus. Amen. Brother Billy.
Praise the Lord. Amen. We bring you greetings tonight from Northside Christian Center in Carthage, Texas, where we have pastored for a few years, about 35 years. And we come with the Spirit of the Lord in our hearts and upon us. Brother Glenn has just mentioned that I come to share what the Lord is doing. And I found myself just yesterday morning as I was meditating the presence of God and entertaining the presence of God, I sought desperately that God would give me a word for the very hour and the day that we're living. You know, Peter wrote and said to those that he was writing to and to us who read his letter today, he reminded us of many truths. But he said, I want to put you in remembrance of these things, but I want you to be established in the present truth. Amen. And again, he is saying what Jesus quoted in the Gospel of Luke and Matthew when he spoke to Satan, when he defied Satan overcome the temptation of Satan. He said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, stating that there is an ongoing flow of God's word, making known to us there is a present word given by the Holy Spirit, inspired by God. You will find that you cannot live on yesterday's manna. It will breed worms. It will spoil. But God's Spirit is fresh, and it comes forth with power and deliverance. It does not say anything that God disagrees with. It does not say anything that the written word disagrees with. but it is that which is not yet made known to man.
Hallelujah, amen.
Hallelujah. There is a dimension of God's Word today to be released in the hearts of God's people. You know, Jesus is always the example. If you read the life of Jesus, if you study His life, His ministry, His birth, His death, you will find that He set forth a pattern for everything that you and I are to walk in. I was thinking this evening, John's gospel, you know, John was, he was a little bit different. You ever run across anybody just a little bit different? He was a little bit different than Matthew and Mark and Luke. He wrote a little different. And I was just thinking this evening as I was meditating upon the Word of the Lord. You know, John recorded 7 miracles. If you'll look through the Word, the Gospel of John, you'll find that he recorded 7 miracles up to the time that he raised Lazarus from the dead. We won't go through those miracles, but they're progressive miracles. And if you care to look at them and study them, they're miracles that progresses the believer into the resurrected life of Christ. And after he records 6 miracles, it comes time for him to record the miracle of resurrection in the 11th chapter of John. Now, they have seen him raise the dead, but they've never seen him raise a person that had been dead 4 days and had already begun to be decomposed. Nothing but resurrection life could do that. And the reason that I've made a statement tonight that there is a dimension of God's Word and power waiting for us as we wait upon God is that Jesus taught that. And He wanted them to know that He could heal, that He could raise the dead, and that He could walk the water, and that He could feed the multitudes, and that He could heal the centurion's son who was Gentile. He could turn water to wine. When they run out of wine, I think I've probably mentioned the 6 miracles there in John, beginning at John chapter 2. But when he got to the 11th chapter that we read as the resurrection chapter, he reaches beyond any miracle. Any miracle that he has performed, he reaches past that. And he says that he does this so that they will believe. And when he hears about Lazarus being dead, he says, I'm glad that I wasn't there. Of course, so that he could complete his ministry and highlight and bring it to an apex in resurrection. Now, I don't have to tell you that the next thing on agenda is resurrection life. You are aware that the next thing that is on the agenda of God's plan in the kingdom of God is resurrection life. And in the resurrection life, the ministry of the resurrection life, oh, I like that 8 and 11 of Romans. Been quoted and sung here today. If that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, you care if I shout?
Yeah, brother.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
if that spirit dwells in you, and Miss Linda said the big if the spirit of Christ, if that spirit that raised him from the dead dwell in you, it shall quicken this physical, mortal body. It shall go beyond all medical science. It shall go beyond all that men have learned and have the intelligence to deal with. And it will defy every law that has ever been placed upon the human body. It will, hallelujah, brother. No, it will defy the law of gravity. Woo! He defied that law when he walked on the water. He's supposed to. Peter done the same thing. You want to get upset at him because he began to sink, but hey, how many of us have took 3 steps on the water without going down? Praise the Lord. He was showing us some things that is going to occur in the kingdom. Hallelujah. And let me tell you this. There's never been a dispensation come and gone unless there was a few people in the existing dispensation didn't lap over into the next dispensation. You know what I mean? Hallelujah. For example, we had 2 old boys that was sent over with 10 unbelievers into the land of Canaan. Moses sent out 12. All 12 of them come back, but they had a different record and a different report, a different testimony of the land. They had a different testimony of the kingdom. They walked in kingdom territory. They seen the manifestation of kingdom power and kingdom glory and kingdom fruit. All 12 of them seen the same thing. You kind of have to be careful who you get your testimony from today. You know what I mean? 10 of them dudes came back and they said, "Well, we can't take the land because there's giants over there." And they said, there's giants and we see ourselves as grasshoppers in their sight." They had a pretty low esteem of their self, didn't they? They didn't believe God. They didn't believe God. That's the reason they didn't enter into the rest of God. They didn't believe the report. That's the reason they didn't enter into that greater dominion that God had preserved for them for that time. And that's the reason people won't enter in today, is because they won't believe God. They won't believe His Word. They don't believe that there is a progressive moving of God's Spirit in the earth today. That there is a transforming and a changing taking place behind these old fleshly veils. There's something going on in the temple, Brother Glenn. Hallelujah! When they came back, I believe we were talking about people lapping over into another age or another dispensation. When they came back viewing and observing all the splendor and the glory of the land, 10 of them said, "We can't take it. We are not able to take it because there are giants there and we'd fall before them." And 2 of those men who wholly, fully trusted God, who had another spirit, said, "We're more than able to take it." Let me tell you what happened to them guys, as if you didn't already know. You know, the next day, after that day of an evil report of the land, let me tell you, let me just indent this into your mind. When you see God move, you get in the environment of the moving of God, the Word of God. You may not understand everything, but don't carry an evil report at it. You are sealing yourself away from the best thing that God's got when you bring up an evil report of the kingdom of God and its moving and its power and its glory. I don't understand everything I see and hear here. I haven't been here but two or three times. And I don't understand everything. But I learned a long time ago, just receive what I can receive and hold on to what I can't understand, because God can give it to me. Don't ever bring an evil report. Those 10 men, because of their evil report of the land, God turned the entire nation of Israel back into the wilderness. And the next day, they said, well, we disobeyed God. We're going to go up and take the land. You know, we're going to go take it. Have you ever seen those guys? Are they going to do it? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to do absolutely nothing without God. Without me, Jesus said, you will do nothing. We are coming to an area of age where God is going to cut off the strength of man. There's going to be men that has moved in marvelous ministries that are going to find themselves absolutely shut up and dried up because they refuse to move on in the Word and in the move of God. This will be such a tragedy, such a heart-rendering thing for men and servants of God that have served God all of their life, and yet they will refuse to go into what God is bringing them into. God will shut them down until they receive that word that God has given today. Now this is thus saith the word of the Lord. God is dealing with you, or if He's dealing with me to progress into His Word and into the revelation of God, and we refuse to move on with God, He can certainly shut us down until we get ready to move in. Amen. Didn't He do it with Israel? I'm going to get around and tell you about these guys that left over into another age. Two of them. 2 out of 10. Well, we might say 2 out of 6 million. More or less, somewhere between, well, I don't know. Some stats say one thing and one another about how many there were in Israel as she came out of Egypt. But it looked like these two guys were about the only ones out of the whole congregation that believed God, had another spirit, fully holy, followed the Lord. Did you know one day, the Lord dropped something down in my spirit that was so beautiful. I was reading that passage and about how God turned Israel back. He was angry. He was angry because they would not believe Him. They wouldn't believe the Word of God, and they wouldn't believe the report of these two men. And He said, there's not going to be a man, a person, 20 years, from 20 years upward, that's going to go into the land. In other words, I'm going to give them time to die off. Now, generations have come and generations have gone. And there's always been people in generations existing that had revelation of the visitation and the moving of God. I believe that we are nearing the end of a dispensation. I believe the next step is into the kingdom. I believe that there are those who are standing, sitting here, will perhaps not taste of death until they see the kingdom of God in its glory. Hallelujah. Shelo rosteve kemanda orokotitile maruto. The Spirit of the Lord is saying, draw near unto thy God.
Worship the Lord thy God in spirit and in truth. Walk in His Word and walk in His light and step not to the right nor to the left, but fix your eyes upon the Lord and walk towards Him. Praise God. You see, in the incident of taking the land, the promised land, or what I think was a type of the kingdom of God, that's my concept of it, they were two men that believed it. And when Israel was turned back into the wilderness, they started dying off, just like God said. I mean, when 40 years had expired, there wasn't a person left that at the time He made the decree that was 20 years or older that was living, except two. Moses didn't get in there. No, he wasn't. Not when he went in.
I'm after the old boys.
Well, straighten me out here if I'm not making myself clear, because, man, I'm transparent. I won't say a thing tonight that you can't feel free to question me on or talk to me about. Amen. Anything that I say, I'm open. But you know, brother, there is a story about Moses, and I don't have time to get around to it, but he did not walk in the land. He forfeited his right to walk in the land. That don't mean that he wasn't one of the greatest, and he got there on the Mount of Transfiguration, but he did not go into the land simply because he didn't sanctify the Lord at the rock. But here's two guys, Joshua and Caleb. Now, they getting up in the years, and they're still living. The Bible said, and they lived on. Somebody walked up to Caleb one day and said, hey, you're supposed to be dead. God said everybody's going to die that was 20 years now. He said, I believe the Lord. And he said, besides that, when I was walking around over there in the kingdom, I found me an inheritance. And he said, Moses promised it to me. When I get there, I'm going to get there. How many of you know you're going to get there? Are you sure you're going to get there? You'll get there if you believe God. You'll get there if you walk with God. You'll get there if your ways pleases God. And they said to Caleb, why haven't you died? And he said, well, I got an inheritance in the kingdom. I found a mountain over there. When I was walking around over there spying out the land, I found an inheritance there, and I'm going to go in and get my inheritance. I got something over there that I'm after. I'm going after it. Hallelujah. While walking in the wilderness, there has been an overlapping of the world to come, of the good things of God, of the good Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I believe there's going to be some people that's going to walk in. Joshua and Caleb walked in. Glory to God, 40 years, 38 years later, after the rebellion or the bad report of the land, Joshua led them in. He became their leader. Caleb went in and took that mountain. Joshua said, Caleb, you're a little old, aren't you, to take a mountain away from a giant? He said, I'm just as strong as I was the day the Lord gave me that mountain. Hallelujah. Amen. What they really done, what these two men done, while walking in the wilderness, they were living in the kingdom. While walking in the midst of a generation of complainers and mummers and fornicators and you name it, and they were it. Didn't sound like good English. But anyway, while walking out there among all of that crowd that wasn't going to get to see the kingdom or the land that was promised them, their hearts had already received it. Their faith had already taken it. They had walked in it. They had overlapped from the wilderness age into the land. And there's people here tonight. You know, Jesus, one day, it's in Mark chapter 9, verse 1, Luke 14, Matthew chapter 16, last verse, and starts out in the 17th verse, where Jesus looked at those that were round about him, and he said, there are some people that's standing here that's not going to taste of death until they see the kingdom of God coming. Matthew recorded this. Matthew chapter 16, the last verse. Mark recorded it. Chapter 9, the first verse. Luke recorded, I believe, in chapter 14. And they all said it just a little bit different. One of them said, until you see the Son coming in His kingdom. Amen. And do you know, about 8 days after that, they seen it. They seen a manifestation of the kingdom of God. Jesus, I can almost see Him. Peter, James, John. I want you guys to go with me. And he took them into a high mountain apart to pray. And he'd already put out the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for everything God's doing, Brother Glenn. Thank God for every salvation, every born-again person, every deliverance, every healing. Thank God for it. Say praise God for what He's doing. Praise God. I get charged in the Spirit just beholding that. And let me tell you, that's kingdom manifestation. That's kingdom ministry. If you want to know what kingdom ministry is, it was when Jesus sent out the 12 and told them to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, heal the lepers, freely you've received, freely give. That was kingdom ministry. And kingdom ministry is coming again. Kingdom ministry is returning. Hallelujah. Progressively, but it's coming. Glory to God. I want to share a few verses of Scripture with you tonight. This wasn't what I was going to talk about tonight. Maybe I've just talked about what the Lord wanted me to talk about, and I'd be in better shape if I just quit while I'm ahead. But I want to minister personally. Not just one-on-one, but I want to touch you, each one, tonight with a word. God laid this thought on my heart that He has called us to declare liberty. We won't try to get into the entire message tonight, but I want you to know, young people, I want you to know that God has called you to declare liberty to the captive, liberty to the sick, liberty to the lost. And I know how Satan comes against, especially young people, in their witnessing. I know how he tries to scare us off. I know how he tries to, not that I'm a young person, but we have some of the same problems sometimes when it's one-on-one. But God has called every one of us to declare liberty. The Word of God says, and I'm going to read it, and I don't know how long you want to stay here tonight, but I probably won't keep it too long. I don't usually preach over a couple hours. No, I don't usually preach over about 40 minutes. But I want to share some Scripture with you. And in sharing this Scripture with you, I want you to hear in your spirit that God's called you to declare liberty to His people. He has called you, and we'll show you the chapter and verse, but He's given you two powerful weapons to do it with. First, He's given you His Word, and then He's given you His life, His resurrected life. If that same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead,
dwelling real quick in you. Now, he's giving you especially these two weapons against the enemy and to proclaim liberty to the Word of God. I mean, the Word of God just simply declares that God's not slack concerning His promises, as some men call slackness. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all, everybody say all should come to repentance. Now, He's given us the Word. He's put His Word in our mouth, and He's put His Spirit in us. He's birthed us and filled us with His Spirit. And in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, when Jesus begun His ministry, when He initiated His ministry and began to open it up to the existing world at that time, He came into the synagogue on the Sabbath. The priest handed Him the scroll, and He turned to Isaiah 61, and He began to declare liberty. Now, I want you to know that the first ministry of Jesus was that He declared liberty. We've read the story, and Brother Glenn showed us some books tonight, and Brother Glenn, I want that book on the history of America. We read the story of how the slaves were freed. The emancipation was handed down from the high office of our land. All the slaves at one time, in one signature, are at the end of the signatures that wrote it into law. Every slave was free. Now, I want to tell you tonight, whatever encompasses you, whatever tries to control you, whatever tries to bind you, Jesus has set you free from that. You are free. It may not have been manifested in your life, but the potential of your freedom is there, and you don't have to go on in bondage. Every one of us in this room tonight has been declared free. The slaves, when this law went into enactment, those that heard it rejoiced because they were freed from their slavery. But those that were in the remote places where they did not hear, could not hear that you're free, they continued to slave. They continued to serve under slave masters. They continued to work and slave for someone else. And if someone came to them that knew the law and said, "Why are you still under slavery?" We haven't heard. I'm persuaded tonight that a lot of God's children haven't heard that you're free. Maybe you've heard it in the natural ear, but you hadn't heard it in your spirit. Maybe you've heard it preached from the pulpit, but maybe it's never touched your spirit. I want you to know tonight that Jesus has set you free. Here is the ministry that He came to minister in. He said, as He read Isaiah 61 and 1, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And that's the beginning of all freedom. The anointing of God, the Spirit of the Lord, is the beginning of all liberty and freedom. I'll never forget, 44 years ago, in a little shotgun store building that we moved in for a church building, standing there singing, "He Set Me Free." I'll never forget that. I heard that night. I heard it in my spirit. I was set free. Everything within me was liberated. My spirit, my soul, my body was liberated. I heard that song. It was anointed. The Spirit of God was upon it. I'm free. I was an alcoholic. I was a chain smoker. I was one who profane the name of the Lord. You name it, I done it. But God set me free. Hallelujah! He set me free! You may be here tonight. You may have some of those chains bound to you. You may be bound by some of those things. I want you to know Jesus is in the business of liberating and setting you free if you'll ask Him to do it. I never wanted another cigarette. I never wanted another drink of liquor. I never wanted to chase another woman. I never did have to ask somebody, pardon me for my language. You know why? Because the Bible said if any man is in Christ Jesus, this is 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. That's what I am. I'm a new creation. And when I say I'm a new creation, I say that I touch heaven and earth. I don't back up. I don't apologize. I've got the means and the life. I've got the transportation. I've got the spirit. I've been delivered from the powers of darkness. Colossians 1:13 says we have been delivered from the darkness, the domain of the darkness, and we've been translated into the kingdom of the beloved Son. Hallelujah. If you don't proclaim it, if you don't know it, if you hadn't heard it, you won't operate in it. Preachers all over the country know this, but they can't operate in it because they can't proclaim it. And you can't do anything you can't proclaim. If you can't say it, you can't do it. I know that's not very popular, but I'm not trying to win a popularity contest. Hallelujah. I never preach for popularity. And I've never had to miss a Sunday out of the pulpit, not having a place to preach. I don't want to start bragging, but I will brag on Jesus. Amen. Amen. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel. It takes anointing to preach the gospel. It takes anointing to declare the word. It takes the anointing to make the word the sword of the Spirit. But when the Spirit of the Lord gets on it, hallelujah, it'll separate the spirit and the soul, discern the thoughts, and reach down to the very intents of our thought. Have you ever been sitting under the Word of God and the Word of God just reading you? How did he know that? Who told him that? The Word of God is quick and sharp. Powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Dividing even this, the spirit. Dividing asunder even the spirit. And that's the only thing that divides your soul from your spirit is the Word of God. Reaches into the marrow of the bone where life is produced. It'll quicken. Whew. Glory to God. Jesus preached what he was going to do. He came to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, or the year of Jubilee, or the year of freedom. Glory to God. Let me give you one more scripture, and I'm going to close it down. And we'll, if I minister any more, I'll just pick up where I'm going to leave off tonight. Two things I want you to hear. One of those that you're free. You're free in Christ. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who is in Christ reconciled the world unto himself. That's what I was going to preach on tonight. Ministry of Reconciliation. Amen. Listen to Jesus. Listen to Jesus and listen to the people. Now I want you to hear this. You've heard it 1,000 times. You'll hear it one more to you. You'll hear it 1,001 times tonight. John chapter 8, I don't know where to start. Let's start in verse 30. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, word, everybody say word. If you abide in my word, now here's one of the weapons of your warfare. If you abide in my word, you are my follower, my disciple indeed. What constitutes a disciple? Abiding in the word. Everybody say, I love the word. That I might not sin against God. The light is a lamp unto my feet. The word is a light unto my path. The word is settled in heaven. The word is honored over the name of the Lord. The word is quick. And it's living. And it's powerful. And it's sharper. And Jesus said, if you continue in it, you will be my disciples. Hallelujah. Woo! You know what loves the Word of God out of us or in us? The Holy Spirit. Man, when I was filled with the Holy Spirit and I got the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues, I'd read the Word walking down the road. I know people that see me, they'd think I was crazy. But there was a desire and a hunger for the Word of God I never had in my life. The Holy Ghost was just wanting the Word, the Word, the Word. And I'd read it walking down the road, and I'd go to bed at night and carry it with me, stick it under my pillow, or hold it in my arms. We shouldn't ever get away from those things, those first things. But some of us do. But be careful. Don't get too far away from the Word of God, because it's what makes you a disciple. Praise God. Jesus said, most surely I say unto you, whoever commits sin... Wait a minute, I've missed something. 30, I missed something. 32, yeah. And Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You'll be my disciples if you abide my word. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Well, praise God. They answered him, we're Abraham's. Now listen to the people. We're Abraham's descendants. I'm a child of Abraham. And we've never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Have you ever had that junk handed to you? I'm not going to even get in. I don't want to embarrass anybody, and I'm not critical towards any church. But I'm telling you, church don't get you there. Amen. Praise God. And I want to say a word along with Miss Linda. She said a word this morning that I loved. I appreciated that word this morning. You know, I've seen a lot of people that came out of denominational churches, and they turned around and kicked them in the teeth. And criticized. Always felt that it took everything that I was brought to, everything that I was brought through, and everything I was brought up in to bring me to where God wanted me. Amen. And you'll never hear me criticizing a church. And if you come to my church and visit my church, you won't ever hear any of my people criticize churches. Because I teach them not to. Besides, I got some good things in the Baptist church. I learned to tithe. Oh, I like that. All them amens I got, Brother Glenn. I said I learned to tithe. Good. I learned to carry my Bible to church. I learned to be on time. Oh, I didn't know I was hitting you that hard. Hey, there's a lot of things I learned that I didn't throw away when I got the Holy Ghost and went into an interdenominational church. Praise God. Jesus came to set the captives free. He said to these people that said, we have Abraham as our father. We're descendants of Abraham. We're Abraham. We're not in bondage to anyone. And that's what people are saying today. I'm this, or I'm that, or I was baptized, or, I went through a form or a ritual. So what?
Unless you're born again, you're not going to see the kingdom.
Amen.
I mean, that's too plain to miss. You've got to be born again to see the kingdom. And Jesus continued to say, unless you're born of the water and the Spirit, you can't enter the kingdom. So there's an entrance into the kingdom. Praise God. I'd like to be able to minister on the entrance into the kingdom, Lord permit. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides. How many of your sons? Hallelujah. Came unto his own received him not, but to as many as believed upon his name, as many as received him, until them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe upon his name. A son abides forever. A slave, if you're a slave to sin, he said the slave doesn't abide. But he said, the Son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son has made you free, you shall be free in... Hallelujah. Father, tonight, let the word of the Lord be quickened in our spirits, that we are indeed free, that Jesus proclaimed that, that his word proclaims it, that his spirit proclaims it, that the ministry proclaims we're free. And Father, let this word, we're called to herald the liberty of Christ. Let that be birthed tonight in our spirit. Cause us to know tonight that you've given us the authority to herald the message of liberty to your people. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Could we give the Lord a praise offering? Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord. We thank you tonight. Shiloh, Shatoboro. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.